And he plans for us some of the best. And it is my privilege to come and share. I have known Brother John for a lot of years, and I told him, he and Tekla, we had coffee with him this week, and I told him, I said, you are very trusting. But let me assure you, my job this morning is twofold. Number one is, of course, to preach the Word of God. Number two is to make you appreciate your pastor more when he comes back next week. I knew that I was going to have a larger number of ladies, and that's great. But John didn't get all of the men folk up on the hill. So some of you are here. And I just covet your prayers this morning as we share together. I'll be sharing with you out of the second chapter of Acts and verses 42 through 47. When we think about the church, God created the church through His Son, Jesus Christ, and He created us in such a way that with a design that He had in mind, He wanted us to be the kind of church that He could bless. God didn't do anything in His creation from the moment that He created the heavens and the earth and all that's in it. He didn't change and make a design such that it had no earthly value. And our Lord said that He would build a church, His church, and He would build the church in such a way that at given time He could present His church to the Heavenly Father as one without spot and blemish. And so God wants the church to be the kind of creation that He can bless in every way. And I honestly believe that in my years of ministry, in my years of pastoring, that every sincere believer wants and has a great desire to belong to a fellowship that God blesses. There's a lot of churches today, folks, that God is not blessing. They may be growing in numbers, but they're not growing in numbers because they are doing what God requires of us as churches if He is to bless us. Many of them are gathering together for And this I recognize is a little judgmental, but I think some of you will agree at least, that many of them are gathering together to just simply entertain not only themselves, but others. Some years back, we had a couple that came to the church in Paonia when I was pastoring there, and they decided after a couple of Sundays that they wanted to be a part of the church. And they came and they gave testimony. And they said they had been attending some of the churches in that area. And this is not to cast any stones at any of the churches. This is their words, not mine. But they said they were tired of looking at churches that were existing simply to make them feel better. Church is not to make us feel better, but church is to give us an opportunity to be better. And it's an opportunity for God to bless us. And I'm proud of what I observed this morning. And I say that from the heart, to know that you folks are a praying church. God blesses because of prayer. We have conversation with God when we pray. There are times that we, in our prayer time, we may be asking God for something, and there's other times that we may be thanking Him. I'm sort of a comic buff. Probably none of you like the comics in the paper, but there's one little comic strip that I really like. And that's the one entitled Our Family. I know that it has to be, or had to have been, I understand the man that created that comic strip is already gone on to be with the Lord. He had to have been Christian because he had the Christian principles in all of them. And in one of those that I remember so vividly, the mother, it shows her on her knees praying. And it also shows two angels on a cloud. One looks over at the other one and said, Hey, listen. She's not asking for anything. She's just giving thanks. There's times that God enjoys those kinds of prayers. But there's also times when God enjoys the others too, because He wants us to depend upon Him. So we do not determine what God can bless. Only God does that. Any church can enjoy God's blessings if its members will respond to its priorities and to God's priorities. And so look with me for a few moments at some of those priorities. The church in the early days, and hopefully still in our day, the church in Jerusalem keenly understood its priorities. It existed in a time, as we studied the Word, when the church was not really looked upon with favor among the multitudes. Have we somehow evolved into that kind of situation today, where the church is not being looked upon with favor by the multitudes? But the church continued to exist, and it continued to keep the priorities that God had set for it. Sometimes God had to intervene in it because there was a period of time when the church wanted to stay all together, it seemed. The converts were fewer in number, but they wanted to stay together in their own little holy huddle. And so persecution came upon the church, and whether or not God was involved in that to the point that He caused it to happen. But we do know this, that God took advantage of it, and the church began to scatter. And everywhere they went, they began to share the good news. Folks, the good news of the gospel is the same today as it was 2,000 years ago. It hasn't changed. And our God is just as able to forgive sin today as He was 2,000 years ago. And as long as we keep His priorities, God will continue to bless our gathering as we are this morning. Another one of the priorities was the priority of teaching the Word of God. We were in a meeting over in the Salt Lake area this past Friday and Saturday, yesterday. And a lady that we have known quite some time knew that her husband was a very strong Christian. And some of her conversation would almost convince you that she was. But a statement that she made was that she was raised a Baptist. But now she was of one of the occult. If we want to lay blame, I think some of the blame has to come back to us as a church. Because it's our responsibility to take the young Christians, the new converts, and begin to nurture them and to teach them as Jesus commanded. Teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded unto you. And so often, we treat them like we would never want to treat our own children. Remember, a new convert is one of God's children, one of God's babes. And so He wants us to take that new convert under our wing and begin to nurture them and to teach them and to train them and help them to grow until they can get to the point that it would not come about as this young lady said yesterday. I was once raised Baptist, but now I'm different. And I can promise you this, that what she is now, as far as that particular group of people, they are not teaching and preaching any part of the Word of God. And so we have to nurture them to keep that from happening. So their priority was teaching the Word of God, and then they honored also the office of pastor. And not only pastor, but teacher within the body. They honored that position. And there's a lot of churches today that may not be the case. But if we want God's blessing, we have to fulfill that. They also absorbed the content of the pastor's preaching and teaching. Because if he is doing what God has commissioned him to do, if he's keeping the priority that God has for him to keep, he is teaching and preaching to you the Word of God. And we absorb it. We take it into us and we ingest it into our mind and our body and our understanding, so that when we go from this place, we go out into the world as a testimony of the risen Christ. As we were driving home last night, we were discussing some of the things in relationship to the church. And you know, Peter said we are to always be ready to give an answer of the reason of the hope that's within us. And I cry within, because I don't have a lot of people asking me for the hope that's within me. I know very little about your church. I do know that you're God-fearing people. You exhibited that already this morning. I was here and visited in your church some time back when Brother John was preaching. I know that you are God-fearing people. But let me say that we, as God-fearing, we need to take advantage of what God has given to us. And we need to live our life outside of the church in such a way that people can see Jesus Christ in us. One of the disciples asked the Lord, "Show us the Father, and it'll be enough." Jesus said, "Have I been so long with you that you do not understand that if you have seen me, you've seen the Father?" Well, folks, the same thing could be said today as of the church. Because, you see, if the world, the lost world out here, is to see any of Jesus, they're going to have to see it through us, through our lifestyle, the way in which we act and react in their presence. And so, there also needs to be a priority of devotion to the fellowship that we have in the church. And our fellowship is based upon the risen Lord. We come together because we have something in common. We had some missionary folks in our church in Cedar Ridge. Some of you may have known the Congdons. Brother and Sister Congdon spent 44 and a half years in Africa. And in some of the earlier days of getting from the U.S. to Africa, they, back before they had airplanes flying over, they had to take ships. Sometimes it could take them 6 to 8 months to get to Africa from here. And wherever the ship would land, they would find a church that they could go to. And many were the times they shared that they, when they went into the church, they did not speak one word of the language that those people spoke. But they had something in common. Of course, number one, they were worshiping the same Lord. But number two, they knew the music. They could sing the same songs that those folks were singing. They sang in their language, and Brother and Sister Congdon sang it in their language. We have something in common, one with another. I can be invited into your home knowing nothing about you, but if you are a born-again child of God, we have something in common that we can talk about. So there is a priority that's given to us to have good fellowship among one another, which is founded upon Jesus Christ our Lord. And then the priority of worship in the breaking of bread and of prayer. The coming together, breaking the bread of life. Not just breaking bread for the Lord's Supper, but also breaking this bread as we come together and share it together. Also a church that will trust absolutely its members. We trust one another, don't we? We believe that everyone in our church family is interested in our well-being, spiritually and physically. We are honest one with another. And so God blesses a church that has honesty and where we trust one another. And the day that we live in today, outside of the church, there's not a lot of trust. I remember when I was a youngster, and of course, you folks are all too young to remember that, but I remember as a youngster that a person that had a little bit of money in the bank, they could go and buy a cow or a horse or a hog or whatever they wanted to buy from a neighbor, and they could write a check on the back of a shingle or a piece of cardboard. Anything that they wanted, the bank would honor it. They could buy a piece of land simply by the shaking of hands. I spent about 8 years when we first moved to Colorado in real estate. And today, in the real estate industry, you cannot sell or buy a house without having a written contract between buyer and seller. We no longer trust just the word. But within the body of Christ, yes, we can trust one another. And God blesses that kind of church. The early church trusted one another absolutely. They came together. The Bible says, and in the passage of Scripture that we have this morning, in verses 42, it says, "Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things in common." And they, in the previous verse 42, they said it continued steadfastly in doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayer. That's worship, folks. When we come together and we can worship the Almighty God in song and in prayer, in the breaking of the bread of life, all of those things, that's worship. And that's what pleases Him. Makes him feel good. You know, like we feel good when our children begin to praise us and tell us how glad they are. Once in a great while, our children, Gene and my children, will tell us we were kind of hard on them when they were youngsters. I, being a pastor, I say hard on them. I didn't walk around with a club in my hand and beat on them all the time. But we didn't allow them to do some of the things that some of the other kids did. And one of the greatest sounds that ever came to me was in later years when they were married and out on their own, that once in a while one of them would say, "Dad, I'm so glad that you and Mom didn't let us do some of the things that the others were doing. I'm so glad that you kind of kept us under tow. Listen, I'm glad that God wants to keep me under tow. I'm glad that He wants to keep me in the straight and narrow, keeping His priorities." In semi-retirement, the hardest thing for me today is not being in the pulpit. John will never know how much I appreciated him calling and asking me if I would fill in for him today. It may not be a blessing for you, but it sure is for me. Because I love to be God's mouthpiece for Him to speak through me what He wants to speak. And so I want to be true to the priority that He has set out for me. And I pray that for you, that you will always, as a church, keep God's priorities, because God wants to bless this church, this family. You see, you're a body. You are a family. Oh yeah, you'll split here shortly and go your separate ways into your homes and then fulfill the week, whatever the week holds. They'll be different from one another. But when we come together, we are a body. Members of a body, one of another. And we don't all have the same gifts. And that's good. Because a body that only has one shape, one form, wouldn't be much of a body, would it, if everything it had was a foot? Wouldn't be a body if everything it had was an arm? It takes all of it. And I've noticed something else in God's church. I've noticed that when God decides to take one of the saints home, and that saint has filled a strategic area in the church body itself, it isn't very long until God raises up another and puts in that same place. He heals the body. He keeps it alive and well when the body will allow itself to be kept. We can see the severity, though, that is in the mind of God when we break that kind of fellowship. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? God didn't put up with any nonsense with them. They were a threat to the church. They were a threat to what was in the mind of God for the church to do. And so what they had done, and we again are brought to understand that when they sold the land, it was theirs to sell. Every penny they got out of it was theirs to keep. And Peter, when Peter brought accusation, what Peter said, "You have not lied to us, you have lied to the Holy Spirit of God." God protects His church, and He blesses it, and He blesses it greatly. And a church, God will bless, and when God blesses it, it enjoys its daily growth. One of our sisters a moment ago said we needed to pray for a great spiritual revival. How true that is. And folks, some of the greatest spiritual revivals, some of the great awakenings, the spiritual awakenings came about not by a whole state or a whole county for all of the churches in the county. It came about, one of them, the Welch Revival, came about by one man. One young college man who went to a revival. And in the message that the preacher preached that night, he prayed in his prayer at the invitation time, "Oh God, bend us." This young man responded at the invitation and went forward and knelt at the altar. And his prayer was, "Oh God, don't bend me. Break me." And then he began to feel God leading him to go back to his home church and share God's message to them. It began to bother him being in college, so he went to the dean of the college and he said, "You know, I just feel God is asking me to go back to my home church." And he said, what do you think about that?" And the dean, being a wise person and a God-fearing man, said, "I've never heard of Satan speaking like that. If God's telling you to go, you need to go." And he went, told his pastor that he had a message to them from God. And the pastor said, "Why don't you come tomorrow night? We're having a men's meeting. Come tomorrow night and you can share with the men folk." He went the next evening. They had their meeting and the pastor ignored this young man until at the end of the meeting when they had their closing prayer, he says, "Oh, by the way, this young man has some words that he would like to share with you if you want to stay and hear him." And so some of them stayed. And after what they heard, the pastor was so under conviction, he said to him, "Oh, listen, come Wednesday night and share that with the church." That began the great Welch Revival that jumped the ocean, came to America, swept around the world. Listen, revival can start right here in this church among you folks. If we are to have a great spiritual revival, it has to start somewhere. And God will bathe it in prayer. And maybe our prayer needs to be occasionally, "Lord, don't bend me, but break me. Use me. Make me a fit vessel for you to use." And the only members that really count in a church are those that God adds to the church. You see, God doesn't add unsaved people to His church. He may allow them to come. They come and they hear the gospel preached. They respond to the gospel and they give testimony of their conversion experience. Amen. That happened when I was a kid. We had lots of revivals back in the hills of Missouri. There wasn't a whole lot for hillbillies back there to do. And the church was the center of the community, and everything that took place in the community took place at the church. And the revivals, we had a lot of them that lasted 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks. And there would be people saved. And when they came, was lost, they were not the body. But God was ready to put them in the body when they were ready to receive Him as He wanted them to come. God is not impressed with numbers. I honestly believe this. This is Hampton theology now, so don't go and understand that you are recording this and so John can tell you what heresy you may have heard. But I honestly believe that God would rather have 10 people in the church that were deadly committed, really committed to Him and to His work and be what He could bless, than to have a church filled with people that we're just going through the motions playing church. Yes. God's thrilled when the pews, the chairs are all filled with born-again believers that are together to worship. But He is not impressed with great numbers if they're not born-again believers. But He's in the business to save. So, the church needs to be dedicated to God's priorities. And if they're not, it will keep people away. People want to be a part of a church that has the right kind of fellowship and has love in such a way that they respond to us about us today as they did the early church. Look how they loved one another. And folks, people know when we love one another. People know it. They sense it. And if we're not loving one another and we're a fussing and a fuming and a feuding a little bit, the word gets out real quick. You probably all of you have heard of those fighting Baptists. They do fight. And I'm not proud of that portion of it. I stand before you today, number one, as a born-again child of God. And I have affiliated with the church that I've been a part of for all these years by conviction, because I was not told what I could preach and what I couldn't preach. I wasn't told how I had to preach it or how to do the preaching. But I've always also told every one of the churches I've pastored, when the day comes that I can't be both, I'll still be the born-again child of God. You see, salvation is not in a denomination. It's in a relationship with God. It is in a relationship. So, let's be. And I say less. Let's, because that includes me. Let us be the people that God can bless and will bless every time we come together as a body. May we pray. Our God and Father, this morning we come before Your throne and just thank You and praise You, Father, for being who You are and for being what You are. And the way that You love Your church, and the way that You protect it, and the way that You build it. And Father, we know this morning that as new members are added to the church daily, as it was in the day of Pentecost and following, Father, that they come and become a part because they are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And may this church body here be evangelistic in all of their outreach. May their lives be lived in such a way that it can be said always of them, look how they love one another. And may we be, Father, the kind of vessel where the world can see Jesus Christ living in us. And we pray this and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.